on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well. Happy day one of the NCAA tournament. Yes, it is off to a hot start. Brackets are busted everywhere. Losses are had, and teams are upsetting already. Duquesne just took down BYU to take down the Cougars of BYU in the biggest upset so far of the day. We are live out here at the Plaza Bar and Lounge in Midtown and Uncle T-Bone. It's a beautiful day. I'm Jacob Goetz. Welcome in to the Thursday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back, and you could not ask for a more beautiful day here in Auburn, Alabama.
Chamber of Commerce Day here, Jacob, at the Plaza Bar and Lounge in Midtown, 106.7 ESPN Radio, On the Line. Give us a ring, 334-321-1390. Get down to Midtown off of Opelika Road, across the street from Niffer's. You know where it is. We're in the back here at the Plaza Bar Lounge. On the deck, a beautiful day right here in the new addition in the shack. And
yes,
there's TVs everywhere, cold snacks. We got Sarah, the Bud ambassador from Mobile. She's coming. She's handing out samples. Ben Taylor's here.
Live on
Jordan
location.
Jordan Dawson, the queen of sales at the Auburn Network. Coach Wayne Bolt just walked in, ladies and gentlemen. A living legend, architect of the deadbolt defense back in Troy. I mean, I think he coached DeMarcus Ware. Can you feel it? It's on, folks, and my bracket is busted. I told him yesterday I didn't want any do-don't, meaning Duquesne, and I'm due out.
Well, the brackets are busted everywhere. We're going to talk all about the NCAA tournament here today, breaking it all down, the games that have already happened, Uncle T-Bone, the games that are happening right now, and the ones to come while we're going to be out here. 2 to 6, our show on the line from 2 to 4. Bill and Dan will be showing up a little bit later doing their show 4 to 6 for The Drive. Come on out and join us live at the Plaza Bar and Lounge. We're going to take care of you. We got great food, great drinks, got giveaways, T-shirts, koozies, cups, you name it. We have got it, and we want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We're also going to talk to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network later on today. He'll be on the call for Auburn baseball this weekend as they host the number one team in the country, Uncle T-Bone, the Arkansas Razorbacks. We'll talk to him about that coming up in about 20 minutes or so.
Boy, that baseball schedule has been awfully brutal for Auburn starting out in SEC play. Going to have Vanderbilt, now number one, comes to town for a three-game series this weekend beginning tonight. That's a little bit different. They'll start tonight, folks. Don't forget about that. They're going to have Tennessee here shortly, Texas A&M. Tiger baseball is going to have to buckle down, but you know what it is right now more than anything. It's March Madness. Come on out here to the Plaza Bar and Lounge. We just talked with owner-operator Josh Nagel. Thirsty Thursdays have never looked better. $15 domestic beer buckets, $20 craft buckets,
hey-o,
$3 wells, $2 off signature drinks, $4 cheesy tots, and $1 wings, and I see that K-Bag just walked in the house. We've got everybody coming down here. It's going to be the place to be in Auburn, Alabama. The Plaza Bar and Lounge, your home for March Madness.
Home of the Warburger as well, and that is delicious. I think we're going to get some of that, maybe some fried chicken later on as well. They're going to be taking care of us here at the Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge. Come out and check us out. We're here from 2 to 6 this afternoon. The NCAA tournament off and running, Uncle T-Bone. It's been crazy already. You had Michigan State and Mississippi State kick off the day, and for you and I and for a lot of folks out there, Michigan State, we knew they weren't going to let Tom Izzo lose a game. They shouldn't have been in there in the first place. And then what do? They come out and blast Mississippi State by 18 points.
We've been talking about it for a month now, that, and just about like everybody else, that Michigan State had no business, none, being in the NCAA tournament. So what do? Just go out and blow out Mississippi State, who looked terrible.
Shut us up.
The referees in that game were, I'm not saying they're biased, but boy, oh boy, Michigan State got some favorable non-calls, especially Josh Hubbard, super freshman guard for Mississippi State, goes out early in that game for a while in the second half. He took a vicious shot. A player lands on him, no foul. And from there it got worse for Mississippi State. Not only did they lose, they got blown out.
Yes,
Jacob.
They did. Yeah.
And we talked about that. That's the type of coach you don't want to run into in the NCAA tournament. Tom Izzo has loads of experience, national championship coach, and he had his guys ready to play today.
Mr. March himself comes in. Mississippi State falls to Michigan State 69-51. So I started 0-1 in my bracket, Uncle T-Bone, that we filled out yesterday the show.
That's Murphy's Law, that no matter what, you're going to start with a big L in the very first game of March Madness.
And then to back it up, now I'm 0-2 in my bracket in the NCAA tournament because Duquesne, the team you called Duke Dolt, came in and jumped all over BYU. The Cougars were able to come back, make it a close game, had a chance there at the end. We were watching it inside right before we got on the air, but Duquesne comes up with another upset, 71-67. Two of the lower seeds have already won the first two games of the day.
Jacob, BYU was never really in that game, it seemed like, until late. It was a rock fight, a very physical game that there was a small fight in that game early on a rebound where two players, one from Duquesne, one from BYU, hit the floor, and they started scrapping for the ball. You knew it was going to be a tough day for the Cougars after that, and that's what I'm going to call BY brutal from here on out, because I got Dunoned, and so is my bracket. I had BYU going to the Elite Eight.
Man, I had them in the Sweet 16. I had them beating Illinois next round and getting into the Sweet 16.
Thanks,
so BYU,
Cougars.
Yeah, thanks a lot, BYU. Thanks so much for that. Good news is Creighton and Akron are playing right now, and Creighton has pulled away. They're up by 18 points late in the second half, so thank goodness for the Blue Jays, who I have in my Final Four, so they're off to a good start, 66-47. Arizona, the 2 seed, taking on Long Beach State. At the half, it's 41-35, so Long Beach State hanging around with Arizona there at the half. Another 1 seed in action as well. North Carolina on top of Wagner, 22-15, with about 9 minutes in to the first half. Other games coming up while we're going to be on the air and while we're out here all afternoon. Morehead State, Illinois. Oregon, South Carolina, turn me up for that one. Nevada and our Dayton Flyers, Uncle T-Bone, that's right. And then later on tonight, Colorado State and Texas. Oakland and Kentucky, McNeese and Gonzaga, one of the most popular upset picks of the entire NCAA tournament. South Dakota State and Iowa State, St. Peter's, Tennessee, NC State, Texas Tech. Goodness, I didn't know there were this many games. Samford and Kansas and Drake and Washington State. We're off and running, man. What a great day so far for the NCAA tournament.
Quick update, University of North Carolina now up 24-17, starting to take care of business against Wagner. That would be a game and be a shocker for everybody's brutal if it goes the wrong way. I got to go back to this Mississippi State debacle.
Oh, it was horrible.
I mean, I cannot believe that not only did they get beat, but they looked terrible in that game. Just never could get into any type of rhythm until really at the very beginning of the second half, and then Hubbard gets injured for quite some time. I don't know if he was able to come back, but it looked like he had taken a shot to the head. And I'm going to tell you right now, we talked about this yesterday, Jacob, and I was very, very tempted to jump on Long Beach.
Because of the storyline.
The Seinfeld coach, you know, home of Snoop Dogg and Long Beach.
Playing with free money.
Upset alert city. And they continue to hang around with Arizona. And the last thing, if you are one of these higher seed teams, that you want to do is let one of these lower seed teams hang around for very long.
You're absolutely right, because the longer those games go on, the more of a chance that lower seeded team that's a big underdog, the more momentum they build and the bigger chance they have to pull that massive upset. I have a 15 seed beating a 2 seed in this tournament in my bracket. I picked Western Kentucky to take down Marquette. But, man, wouldn't this be awesome if Long Beach State could take down Arizona? Not really awesome for my bracket, because guess what? I have Arizona in my Final Four.
Let's go, Long Beach.
You've been dipping into the cold snacks already too much. Hey, Arizona is in action right now with Long Beach State. So many great games. We're out here live at the Plaza Bar and Lounge. And we go back to that Michigan State-Mississippi State game. I mean, what a poor representation of the SEC to start out. 8 teams in the tournament, and Mississippi State, somebody that most people pick to win this game, us included, and just dropped an egg. Couldn't stop Michigan State, a putrid offense all season long. And then Josh Hubbard wasn't all that effective and only scoring 51 points in 40 minutes of basketball. You can't expect to win many games doing that.
Can Mississippi State have a case of Jabba? Because that's sure what it looked like to me, of the worst kind right there. Hopefully that's not indicative of Auburn's chances moving forward in the rock fight that they got into with Mississippi State last Saturday in their second game of the SEC championship in the semifinals of the conference championship. Boy, and I'm with you, man. The SEC's been one of these leagues all year. Everyone's been like, hey, they're one of the better conferences, maybe the best conference in college basketball. And then all of a sudden to come out in the very first game, right out of the chute, drop an L. It's very embarrassing for the conference. Hopefully everyone else can take care of business. But who knows now? Look, in tournament time, Jacob, especially in March Madness, I've seen it over the years, anything can happen. Expect the unexpected. And, you know, the people that do that with their brackets, normally they're the ones that are on top there at the end when the Final Four happens.
Other SEC teams in action today. We mentioned South Carolina, the 6th seed, taking on 11th seed Oregon. That game will start at 3 o'clock. So right as we get going in the second hour of today's show, we'll have updates for you on that one. Kentucky, the 3 seed, taking on Oakland, the 14th seed. Tennessee will be in action tonight, taking on the Peacocks of St. Peter's. So that'll be a lot of fun as well. So the SEC does have a few chances to kind of get back on track, Uncle T-Bone. They got a few chances to get some more wins this afternoon.
Well, they're going to need to do it. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned at this point, it's just kind of every man for themselves. So, and really and truly, I don't really have a whole lot of conference pride other than my bracket and picking those teams. So if everyone goes out and Auburn continues to go forward, then so be it. And I can think of one team that I wouldn't like to see more than anybody go out, and that's tomorrow, the other team across the state that's going to be in Spokane as well.
You're not cheering for the Crimson Tide because they play in the SEC, Uncle T-Bone?
I'm pulling for not after that shaft that we got in the with the SEC with the selection committee, excuse me, and Greg Byrne. I'm just never going to let that go, ever, Jacob.
I don't think you are either,
and I don't think anybody should let that go. But you know what? Nevertheless, the games have started. The Tigers, you know, they're going to have a tough matchup tomorrow against Yale. I don't care what anybody says. You know, earlier in the week I was like, Yale, whatever. But you start seeing these games and you start seeing these teams that are in the tournament that are lower seeds. They're in the tournament for a reason, because they're the best of the lower seed type teams, right? And with NIL and transfers and people bouncing around, all of a sudden you get matched up with a team perhaps like Grand Canyon, that their coach has done a good job of bringing in talent from all around the country, not out of high school, but out of the transfer portal, and you might be going up against some grown men that you didn't think you were going to go up against in the first round.
Which is why a team like Auburn, who has been a popular pick to beat Yale, I have not seen a bracket yet that has Yale beating Auburn, and most people have Auburn playing UConn in that Sweet 16, but what happens if that doesn't happen, right? What happens if Auburn gets to play an FAU or a Northwestern or a Stetson in the Sweet 16, or if UConn can get to that Sweet 16 round and have to play the UAB Blazers or play Yale for anything. I mean, it's so crazy, because we're just assuming that the two best teams are going to get there, but that's not always the case in the NCAA tournament. That's how this thing works.
We're seeing that already early in the first few hours of the tournament kicking off. I'll tell you, Jacob, one thing I do like about Auburn taking on Yale, I can't imagine that Yale has a tremendous amount of NIL money and transfers coming in and out of the Ivy League, right?
I mean, you got to be a genius to go there.
Or you got to be really good at basketball with a decent grade point average. I don't know. I mean, you know, I didn't get a scholarship there, but that doesn't mean I'm not a genius. I mean, some people say I'm a simple genius on the radio, Jacob. But anyway, nevertheless, I think that Auburn's got a good matchup with Yale just because. But, you know, who from College Charleston, right, against Alabama? What's their roster look like? Where do those players come from? The same with Grand Canyon. I would think that St. Mary's probably isn't a big NIL player. It's a small Catholic school in California. But, you know, those are the teams, you know, we probably should have been looking at a little bit harder in the lower bracket, or the lower seedings, is what team is in there that's got five guys from different schools and the average age is 23? You know, those are the type teams that are going to give somebody some trouble.
Well, I mean, experience is something that pays off very much so in the NCAA tournament. And when you've got it, you have such good chance because you're never out of a game. And you've been there before more than likely, and you know exactly what to do in those situations. You know how to win, and you know how to lose as well. And that's what a lot of these teams in the NCAA tournament are doing right now. We are off and running here on the Thursday edition of On the Line, live from the Plaza Bar and Lounge here in Midtown in Auburn. Come check us out. We're here live all day long, 2 to 6, and then we'll hang out a long time afterwards watching all the NCAA tournament games. Come out and check it out. Look at this menu, man. Just looking at the bar snacks, you've got blackened chicken nachos, cheesy tots. You've got boiled peanuts if you're into that. That's not my thing, but I know a lot of people
love them.
There you go. Come out and get some of those.
Those soul rolls are some of the best thing on that
menu. I heard you talking about those
earlier.
They're
unreal.
Yeah.
You got to get down here.
Tell people what that is.
Yeah, it's like a barbecue type egg roll, but with more of an American flavor. You just need to come down there and trust Uncle T-Bone. Go up to the bar, put at the order, say, I want to order them soul rolls and give me some boiled peanuts along with a cold snack, and then say Uncle T-Bone sent me. Boom!
Come on.
It's going to work out perfectly.
I love it. Come on out. Plaza Bar and Lounge, 2 to 6 here on ESPN 106.7. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. We'll also talk to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network coming up at the bottom of the hour. Ben Taylor joins us when we come back here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back here on the Thursday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. We are live on location at the Plaza Bar and Lounge in Auburn over in Midtown. Jacob Goins, Uncle T-Bone with you on ESPN 106.7. And the guests begin. Ben Taylor flaked out on us, so I don't know if he's still here. He may be at the bar or something. I'm not sure where he went. But we got a better guest anyway. We've got a great friend, great guest joining us on the show. We have Sarah, who is... your title is what? The Bud Ambassador is what I was told, but I don't know if that's what you want to rock with. But if it is, let's go. The Bud Ambassador, Sarah, joining us on the show. What's going on? How are you?
I'm good. How about y'all?
We are doing fantastic. Well, welcome in. Welcome to the show. Have you ever been on radio before?
I have not.
Okay. Well, Uncle T-Bone, you know her a little bit. Ben knows her a little bit. You're out at Bunker sometimes. You're out here right now with us at the Plaza Bar and Lounge. What are you doing out here? What's your job for the day?
We're just promoting the Bud Light and beer and then some swag for Auburn as well. So y'all just come on out. We're here for about an hour and a half, so I'll see y'all out here.
Did y'all hear that, Radio Land? Free beer, complimentary beer. Is that... Why aren't you down here right now? We know that you're wanting to get off work. Just go ahead and take off. Come down here and hang out with us at 106.7. Sarah, where are you from, Sarah?
I'm originally from Mobile, Alabama.
Right out of L.A., folks.
There you
Lower
go.
Alabama. Where'd you get that sweet lid? I love this hat. You got to see this hat. It's an Auburn basketball hat. It's amazing.
That's sweet. Where'd you get it?
I got it at the arena, actually.
Okay. Did you buy it? Were they giving those away? I must have missed that night. Wow, that's okay.
They suckered me into it, and I bought a couple stickers out there and some shirts. But
they'll do that to you.
I love to support Auburn, you know.
Okay, well, we're talking, of course, the NCAA tournament today, and we were talking about Auburn a little bit, and it sounds like you're a non-believer in this Auburn team. That's what I came up with, is that you don't have them winning. You don't even have them go to the Final Four.
I do.
Okay.
It's just they're not making it out to the end. It's just the way that the bracket is this year. I just don't know. I would love for them to win, but we'll see.
A non-believer, Uncle T-Bone.
Jacob, I don't even have them in the Final Four.
Okay, I've got them winning it all.
Going out in the Elite Eight. I mean, talk about wish. Never mind. I'm not going to say wishful thinking. I mean, there's probably some people out there that have them two in barbecue and being out after two games. I don't believe that, Sarah. I didn't say that. That's not my belief. But, you know, it is the NCAA March Madness.
My buddy's made a bracket. He's from Tennessee and goes to school here. He has Tennessee winning.
Tennessee.
Oh, my God.
They'll be lucky to get out of the second round when they have to play the real UT of Texas.
Have you ever heard of Rick Barnes in the Tennessee two-step, a.k.a. the choke of March?
Yeah, the curse of Rick Barnes? I guess not. They got a false belief over in Knoxville sometimes.
I mean, they've done a pretty decent job up there, but, you know, winning it all?
No.
I mean, no thanks. You're not a believer in that.
Oh, God, no. Not even the first round.
Oh, my God.
Oh. Maybe one and done.
Oh,
for,
she's got the Peacocks of St. Peter's taking them down. I love it.
Yes, that St. Peter's team
it.
Had did some damage a few years back in the NCAA tournament and turned in one of everybody's Cinderella stories. So, Sarah's saying Tennessee's out. She's got complimentary cold snacks of Anheuser-Busch variety. Get on down here to the Plaza Bar and Lounge right here in Midtown. We're having a big time. Sarah, thank you so much for being on air with us, and thank you for being here and helping us support this awesome cause to tip off the tourney.
That's right. Thanks so much for stopping by. That's Sarah, who is joining us on the show. We got a couple of more minutes before we get to our bottom of the hour break. We'll have Brad Law join us from the Auburn Sports Network coming up in just a few minutes. But, I mean, I feel like a lot of people are kind of in that boat, especially Auburn fans. They don't know what to decide on the Tigers, right? You want to take them, and you think they can get there, and you want to take that risk. But it is a risk, Uncle T-Bone, because of the path that they have to go through.
High risk, high reward, Jacob's what I've always said. You got to take your shots and see where the chips fall. 2019, the road to the Final Four was about as brutal as it gets, with a double dribble call away from playing for and most likely winning a national championship.
Auburn would have beat that Texas Tech team by 20.
They'd have beat them like a drum, like Virginia did. And, you know, would have been one of the toughest routes possibly ever for a national championship. This one's going to be about the same. Yale's going to be very tough on the Tigers. I think that Auburn will pull away late and pretty by double digits like they do against most teams that they're more talented and play harder defense and are better than. You get into that second round game, and heavens to Betsy, if it's against UAB, that's going to be their Super Bowl. That'll be a rock fight.
But with Andy
not,
Kennedy, who's a great head coach.
But that's not like playing Kansas in the second round like they did in 2019.
Right.
But if they when they get past that, it gets even more real, because it's most likely going to be the number one team in the country and defending national champion, and then you've got a date with either Iowa or Illinois most likely, who are conference champions like you are and are very tough. That Iowa State team was pushing towards being a number one, and then you get to the Final Four and you don't know who you're going to get then. So like we said yesterday also, I think once Kansas makes this probably – almost as tough as that 2019 Murder Row lineup that Auburn had to go to. But what makes this really tough is the travel on the Tigers. There is no possible way that any team has had to travel this far if they're going to get to the Final Four.
Auburn would be going from Auburn to Spokane, which is where they are right now. If they win their first two games there, they'll fly out to Boston to play more than likely UConn in Boston in New England, because that's fair, right? And then you'd play both games there, and then you'd travel back to Phoenix for the Final Four and the national championship. Cross country, back cross country, and then back cross country if Auburn is to get to the Final Four, man. It just doesn't make any sense for a team that should have never been a four seed anyway, and now they're having to travel more than just about anybody.
Talk about, you know, just generating some frequent flyer miles there for Auburn University.
Got your Capital One credit card going.
On that company credit card. Man, man, I mean, the expense of that for the university, too. I wonder if the – and the answer is obviously no, if the committee ever takes – that into consideration.
They're supposed to, for the higher seeds, they're supposed to put them closer where their fans can go and they don't have to travel as much. That's part of the reward, right? And shoot, they did it for Tennessee, who's going to Charlotte. They did it for North Carolina, who's playing in Charlotte. They're doing all these other things where these teams, the top seeds, don't have to travel all that much, but Auburn, who should have been a 2 or 3 seed, like we said, they're going across the country numerous times.
Well, you know, we talk about this in football with the expansion of the playoffs, whether or not these conference championship games are really going to mean what they meant in the past. Like, you know, Alabama had to win the conference championship in football this year to get in to the college football playoffs. You got 12 teams, 14 teams, maybe eventually 16. They don't have to win that game. They don't even have to play it to get into it. So, to me, this would be something that NCAA could take a hard look in the mirror in, because they're not going to get rid of these college championship games, because you know why. Money.
Money.
And so, let's make these things really count. And that could be something in the future that the committee could say, look, if you win your conference championship like Auburn did, like Iowa State did, like Illinois did, it's still a long ways to Spokane for them, if they're even playing there. I'm not even sure if they're playing there, actually. Oh, they're playing in Omaha. How about them apples? If you win your conference championship game, you should be able to not necessarily pick where you want to go, but it should just be you're going to be top of the list on getting closer no matter who's in that region.
We'll update you on some scores, take our bottom of the hour break. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network is going to join us when we come back. Some scores going on right now. Creighton all over Akron, 75-60 with about 2 minutes to play in the second half. Arizona has blown it open against Long Beach State, 62-41 Cats with 13:48 to play in the game. And then North Carolina on top of Wagner, 40-26 with 2 minutes to play in the first half. Live on location at the Plaza Bar and Lounge. When we come back, we'll have Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network join us on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goertz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7. We're live out here at the Plaza Bar and Lounge in Midtown. Come check us out. We're watching all the NCAA tournament games, having great food, great drinks. We're having a fantastic time. But excited to talk to this guy. He joins us every Thursday at 2:30. It's Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Brad, great to hear from you, man. We appreciate you joining the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's first full day of March Madness, and it's the most wonderful time of the year. Plus, we got baseball and a big top 25 game tonight, so doing great. I hope everybody there is as well.
Yeah, and that's actually where I want to start, Brad, because you're going to be on the call for those Auburn baseball games against the number one team in the country, Arkansas. Man, it's a chance for Auburn to bounce back given what happened a weekend ago against Vanderbilt where they got swept. And what's the mindset, kind of the vibe right now with this Auburn baseball team after a midweek win and coming back home against the number one team in the country, the Arkansas Razorbacks?
You know, I think if the coaches have their way, it's consistency. Let's have the same approach, and even though Auburn didn't get the success that it wanted against Vanderbilt and really didn't compete well in two of the three games, you still, like, one series doesn't mean that you go and throw everything out and retool or restart. And so, you know, I think they have belief in this lineup, and they are going to tinker a little bit with a pitching rotation. And so we're going to see Connor McBride get his first weekend start. He's 3-0. His last three starts have been terrific, and so, you know, tinkering a little bit with the weekend rotation. I think they have a lot of confidence in Joseph Gonzalez on Saturday, and then Chase Alsop, of course, tomorrow, a veteran who has pitched in these SEC weekends. So I think the belief is still there in this team. They're always going to try to do minor things to, you know, tweak the lineup or to tweak the rotation to give them the best chance to compete in a weekend, and I don't think that's any different this weekend.
What was it, in your opinion, Brad, with this Auburn baseball team against Vanderbilt a weekend ago where they just couldn't get over the hump, right? They couldn't get that win. I think they were competitive on Sunday and really competitive for the weekend. But what was it in your mind that it just was holding them back from getting a win or even just a game win there in Nashville?
I think it was the relentlessness of the Vanderbilt at-bats. I mean, I think there were maybe two innings the entire weekend where Vandy was retired in order, and that's a team that is playing like a top 10 team. They've had some injuries, and talking to their people last week when Tim Corbin was sort of forced to go to a more defensive lineup, the offense clicked. It started clicking, and they weren't real sure why, but that was what happened. I think the Auburn pitchers on Sunday did a much better job of reclaiming the plate, going after the inside corner, going after the outside corner. It's a very tight strike zone this year. But you have to still go out, even if it means throwing a couple of extra balls in your outing. You've got to go after the inside corner and establish the plate. And you can do that both on the mound, and you can do it as a hitter as well, not giving up the corner with two strikes. So I thought baseball's such a game of inches. Your margins, you know, a couple of miles an hour, a couple of inches make a huge difference. And, I thought consistently Vanderbilt just claimed the plate from both the mound and the batter's box all weekend.
It's the home SEC opener for Auburn baseball this weekend. Number one team, Arkansas, coming to town. What are the expectations for a crowd turnout? I know it's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series, which changes it up just a little bit, but what are the expectations when it comes to Auburn fans showing up to Plainsman Park?
Now, I think at this point we're sold out all three is the expectation, whether they are now or very, very, very close to it and maybe, you know, a little bit of face remains. But No, this program is at this level now. It's to the point to where these games are going to be sold out. They're going to be capacity crowds, and hopefully the weather cooperates tomorrow. But that's tomorrow. For tonight, we're expecting capacity crowd, jam-packed, loud, and into the game. And it'll take that against Hagan Smith, who's the front-runner for the pitcher of the year in the SEC for sure.
Auburn baseball hosting Arkansas this weekend over at Plainsman Park. Want to update you on what the broadcast schedule is going to look like for that tonight here locally in Auburn, Opelika. That'll be over on our sister station, Wings 94.3. Pregame at 5:45, first pitch at 6. Tomorrow, that is Friday, Auburn baseball will be on AU100 at 5:45, first pitch at 6, with Auburn Mids basketball going to be on Wings. And then Saturday, baseball will be on Wings as well. 1:45 pregame and first pitch set for 2 o'clock. We're talking with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. You mentioned it in your open, Brad. It is the NCAA tournament. Upsets are already happening, man. It's the definition of what this tournament is, and it's been exciting so far.
It is. There's great parity in college basketball, and we've already seen that a little bit today with Duquesne knocking off BYU. BYU is a team that took a lot of threes and couldn't make them. And when you're a team that's built around the three, sometimes that neutral site, that new place, and the tournament nerves, and they're just not falling. And that's what happened to BYU today. It is the greatest, I think it's the greatest weekend in sports, your first weekend of the SEC tournament, I mean the NCAA tournament. And, already today we've had one disappointing effort from an SEC school. Mississippi State looked terrible. Some of that credits to Michigan State, but Mississippi State didn't look good. And we've had an upset already as well with Duquesne, the 11, beating the 6 BYU. So I know Long Beach was giving Arizona a run early. I think Arizona's kind of started to pull away a little bit there. But we love it. This is just the tip of the iceberg. We're just getting started.
That's right. In the NCAA tournament, a couple of games that are going on right now. You mentioned Arizona, Long Beach State. That's become a blowout. North Carolina handling business against Wagner. Illinois and Morehead State just tipped off as well. The second SEC team that'll be in action today is South Carolina against Oregon. Kentucky plays today. Tennessee plays tonight as well. And does the SEC need a good performance this weekend and this week and these couple of weeks in March, Brad? I mean, does the SEC need a good performance in the March Madness tournament to kind of reestablish what the SEC wants to be?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know honestly, Jacob, how much these teams are thinking about the league when they go play their games. I mean, Bruce may say something about it tomorrow, but, you know, like Chris Jans, the fact that their team lost today, I don't think he gives a rip that an SEC team lost. I think he gives a rip that Mississippi State lost, and I think it hurts Mississippi State more than it hurts the league. I think that people are that kind of talk is filler. It's off season talk. I don't know how much the coaches and players really have that on their radar. I know Auburn fans, the SEC could lose every game in the tournament, but Auburn win, and fans would be just fine. They wouldn't think there's any problem whatsoever with it. So I don't know. Maybe, you know, I do think the SEC was a little bit underappreciated this year, and I don't know that it should count for more than that if the league rolls off some wins in the NCAA tournament. But, yeah, it probably does, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. And I think it's more of a back burner topic or back burner question of like, okay, at the end of this thing, the SEC went – 4-8 or whatever, you know, a bad record. Or yeah, if they had a good record, you know, you start comparing conference records at the end of the tournament, and then, yeah, like you said, it's sort of off-season talk.
It's a lot like your bowl record. This conference did well in bowl games. This conference didn't. I don't like that gets so much talk in the off-season or around bowl games at the end, because it doesn't matter. It's all about matchups. If you had put Mississippi State against a different team besides Michigan State, even in the same 8-9 game, they probably look better. Or maybe they look worse, I don't know. But this particular matchup, this particular day against Michigan State, doesn't mean the Big Ten is better than the SEC. It meant that today Michigan State was, you know, 18 points better than Mississippi State. And you put a different team in the 8-9 matchup against Michigan State, maybe it's different as well. So it's all just like bowl games. There are so many other factors that go into it. that I think the conferences these teams belong to are a very small percentage of it.
I like that. I like how you put that, where in the comparison of the bowl record, where, yes, it's a number that is factual, but is it really applicable at all times? Maybe not. Maybe not so much. Brad, let's talk about Auburn. As they are the 4 seed, they'll be playing tomorrow afternoon against Yale, the 13 seed, out in Spokane. Seems like a lot of people are just riding in Auburn to win that game and move on to the round of 32 and not really worrying about Yale. What is your take on this Yale team and what Auburn will see tomorrow afternoon?
Well, I think statistically the 4 seed against the 13 is an overwhelming win for the 4 seed, and I think if you watched Auburn play, even the ways that these two teams won their conference tournament championship games was very different. You know, Brown missed a couple of free throws that gave Yale an opportunity to hit a last second shot. Meanwhile, Auburn dominated and shot 65% in the second half of their third game in as many days and won going away. I just, these teams are, barring one of these March Madness crazy type of games, if they play 100 times, 97 times out of 100, Auburn should win and Auburn should handle business fairly easily. And particularly this year because of the style of play. They are not a three-point live or die team. They're a team that's built to go from the inside out, both defensively and offensively, and not just built from the inside out, but they can now – the last 3 weeks, they've done both highly effectively. The three-point shooting of Denver Jones and even Naden Holloway and Trey Donaldson, what they've given you from three of late, help balance what Janai and Jalen do on the inside, and teams can't double and triple team those guys because they can pass, they can find open teammates, and they can hit shots. Chaney Johnson, Chad Baker-Mazzara, KD Johnson, these guys' ability to play outside and drive as well give you a team that can play inside out and a team that can play outside in. And on top of all this, Jacob, what is I think the most exciting thing for Auburn fans is not only do they have the hottest team in the conference, but they're motivated. It's not like Auburn won the conference tournament and now all of a sudden everybody says, well, I'll tell you what, better pencil in Auburn for a Final Four. No, you've still got people nationally who are disregarding the guard play on this team, who are writing them off, who are saying, I don't know about Auburn, I'm not sure about Auburn, and there's nobody better in the country at using that as motivation than Bruce Pearl.
I'm with you on that. And the thing, too, is, UConn's got to be the most popular national championship pick, at least to get to the Final Four. I mean, nobody's even – you know, there was this big ruckus on Sunday night and on Monday afternoon about, oh, UConn, the number one overall seed, got the toughest draw. They got to go through Auburn. But then people start churning out their brackets, Brad, and nobody has Auburn beating that UConn team, which I know that's many games down the road. But I'm with you. People just aren't worried about Auburn, and that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
It doesn't. UConn has the toughest road for sure. They have like four top 10 net teams in their region. And the five is, I mean, San Diego State was a Final Four team a year ago. And oh, by the way, the Florida Atlantic, that's the 8th seed in the region, was a Final Four team a year ago, too.
Yep. It's,
to me, as frustrated as Auburn fans may be with their draw, if I'm a UConn fan, I'm even more frustrated by their draw. I don't think UConn is thrilled about Auburn as a potential Sweet 16 game. And look, players and coaches can put their focus and say, well, we can't look ahead. Fans can absolutely look ahead. You look right ahead if you want to. UConn is not thrilled about a potential Sweet 16 matchup against Auburn. They've not lost a game, or they've lost one game since December 20th. They are the hottest team in the country. They are not the same team that won the national title a year ago. They have a lot of different parts, and it'll be interesting to see if they can put it together in the tournament this year the way that the UConn team last year put it together. I know that the way Auburn is playing, I wouldn't write off Auburn against Yale, San Diego State, UAB, UConn, or anybody else in the field the way they're playing right now, which is, by the way, all that matters.
That's right. That's all that matters is how Auburn is playing and how Auburn shows up against Yale, a potential matchup with either San Diego State or UAB, and then a combination of Northwestern, FAU, Stetson, or UConn. We're talking with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network here on the Thursday edition of On the Line, live from the Plaza Bar and Lounge in Midtown here in Auburn. Looking around this bracket, Brad, want to get your thoughts on a team that you've got making a run. Who's a team that people are sleeping on, not talking about enough, that can make a run here in March Madness?
Oh, man. That's a good question. I hesitate to go with any team that lost before the semifinals of their conference tournament.
Okay.
It's why I'm so hesitant on other SEC teams. Like, I can't – Tennessee is kind of a darling, but they lost two straight. They go into the tournament with a two-game losing streak. That ain't good.
Right.
Kentucky goes in having lost the quarterfinal game handily in the SEC tournament to Texas A&M. So if they play a team, that's the problem with teams that have lost games going in, is they're a little bit exposed. And so if they get a matchup with a team that plays the way the team that just beat them plays, it's hard to have a lot of confidence in that team. It's hard to have confidence in Florida because of the loss of Anlogden. That's a big, big feat. So, you know, I don't know. I probably have to go outside the SEC. I might look at, Iowa State's a trendy pick. I would look. You know what? People have kind of forgotten about Baylor. People have forgotten about the Baylor Bears, and I like their physicality and I like their guard play. Anything that's balanced, guard play and post play, I think could make a run, and so they could get a favorable matchup or an upset in their bracket, and you might be looking at the Baylor Bears.
Boy, there's one person that hasn't forgotten about the Baylor Bears, and that's Brad Law, who's got them making a little bit of run. I love to hear it, man. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. He's with us every Thursday here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Busy weekend around the network, Brad. I know it's going to be crazy. We're working with you guys, and it's going to be great. You're going to be on the call for baseball. Tell everybody where they can find all the information and all the broadcasts.
Yeah, you better just go online into social to find everything, because I may mess something up. I know tonight we have two games at 6 o'clock tonight. We have baseball on Wings 94.3 against Arkansas. Again, top 25 matchup, preseason pitcher of the year in the SEC, Hagan Smith, pitching in Plainsman Park. Reminds me a lot of last year when LSU came in here as the number one team. Auburn took 2 of 3. So anyway, that's 6 o'clock tonight, Wings 94.3. Also 6 o'clock tonight over on AU 100, women's basketball in its play-in game at the NCAA tournament against Arizona. That gets it started today, and I'm sure you guys will talk a lot more tomorrow about everything that's coming up tomorrow, including men's basketball on Wings 94.3 starting at 2:45 tomorrow afternoon.
Yep, that's it, man. We got so much going on. You guys do a wonderful job. We appreciate your time, Brad. Have a great call tonight and this weekend on baseball. And, of course, War Eagle.
Very, very quickly, Jacob, let me remind everybody that the radio station, 94.3, that's how you can listen. We cannot stream the men's NCAA tournament games on the Auburn app or auburntigers.com. So if you're listening to us right now on the radio, make sure you have 94.3 ready to go to listen to the game tomorrow afternoon. Women's tournament games can be streamed, and for people out of market, that's fine. But for the men's tournament, we don't want people to miss it because they're looking for it on the app or the website. It's 94.3 FM here in the area. That's how you find it.
Yep, great call, Brad. Appreciate the reminder. You guys, again, just do a wonderful job, and we thank you for your time, man. Have a good one.
Thanks, Jacob. War Eagle.
That's Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network, who's with us every Thursday here on ESPN 106.7. We got to get to our final break. We'll wrap up hour number one. We're going to have some wonderful guests coming up in hour number two here live at the Plaza Bar and Lounge in Midtown here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Hour number one finishes up when we come back.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
All right, wrapping up hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, live from the Plaza Bar and Lounge in Midtown. I'm Jacob Goins with you. Uncle T-Bone beside me as well. Not in the studio. We're live on location, baby, for day one of the NCAA tournament. We got some well-known names and faces around here out here right now. John in Auburn, one of our most frequent callers and listeners, is live here on location. The Pitmaster's here as well, and K-Bag is running around here as well, man. Uncle T-Bone, our fans are the best in the world, and and they're out here supporting us right now.
Well, they know that nobody's working harder and having as much fun as us, and they want to join in, and I can't blame them. So you can join in, too. Just come on down to the Plaza Bar and Lounge. We will be here 106.7 until 6 o'clock. We'll be on till 4. We may just jump on with Dan and them anyway. Who knows what's going to happen in those next couple hours, like in the tournament. Who knows what's going to happen? And, folks, we've got an update. I'm not saying we're on upset alert
Uh-oh.
Here, Jacob,
but
Morehead State is taking care of business right now against Illinois. That's the Big Ten champion, folks, of the tournament. If they go down, it's over for my bracket.
Well, guess what? Long Beach State, it's over for Long Beach State. They're getting killed right now, 75-53. It's over. It's over.
It's
for
over.
Arizona.
Ben Taylor is just waving the white flag out in the parking lot right now.
It's over.
Completely
look at this crew
over.
Rolling in here right here. Hey, look, let me tell you this, too. We've got a great guest starting off hour number two for you in just a couple of minutes. I know we're about to get to our top of the hour break. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. We'll do a little teaser here. Coach Wayne Bolt's going to join us on the broadcast. On the show.
That's
stories
right.
for hours. We don't have hours, but we're going to give him as much time as he wants. I'm excited for that.
I'm going to tell you, Jacob, in radio land, this is going to be a treat. This is must-listen radio. If you can't do it in here, pull over to the side of the road, because the architect of the deadbolt defense himself down at Troy, Coach Wayne Bolt from Augusta, Georgia, will join us at 3 o'clock.
That's right. He'll join us to start off hour number two. Come out and join us at the Plaza Bar and Lounge. We're live for another hour. Bill and Dan are right after us, and we're here shutting the place down, watching NCAA tournament basketball all day long here on ESPN 106.7. Stay tuned. Hour number two coming up.
Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we are live here at the Plaza Bar and Lounge in Midtown here in Auburn. I'm Jacob Goins. Alongside me is Uncle T-Bone as we are wrapped up with hour number one. Hour number two is underway here on ESPN 106.7. If you missed any of hour number one, you can go and catch up with the podcast. You know where to find it at this point, ESPNAU.com. That's our station website. You can also just search on the line wherever you get your podcast. We had Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network join us in that first hour. Also had some crazy results of the NCAA tournament that is underway in day number one. We had Upset City already. We broke all that down for you. Had some guests in hour number one as well, so be sure you go and catch up with that later on today. Some updates on the NCAA tournament right now. Arizona, the two seed, running away from Long Beach State, 82-60. North Carolina just about arm's length away from Wagner, 45-32. And how about Morehead State, the 14 seed, up on Illinois, 27-23, with about 7 minutes to go in the first half. That's some updates on the NCAA tournament. But Uncle T-Bone, we've got a wonderful guest to start off hour number two. Introduce him, bring him on into the show, man. This is I'm so excited for this.
Well, this is a real treat. I mean, we have a living legend in Auburn, Coach Wayne Bolt. I mean, Coach Bolt, thank you so much for being here down here at the Plaza today, and just wanted to get you on air, talk to you about a few stories, you know, catch up. Coach Wayne Bolt from Augusta, Georgia. Coach, you were you went to the same high school as Coach Pat Dye. You were his very first recruit at East Carolina University and a second-team All-American at ECU. Now, was that as a tight end or on the defensive end?
Coach Dye recruited me, and, you know, thank goodness he did. And my high school coach, new coach died. And that's the sort of the, you know, you got to know somebody to be somebody. And that's how I got to East Carolina.
You have a tremendous journey as both a college athlete and coach. It's just an amazing story, and we're going to have to get into deeper in this sometime because, folks, I don't quite realize how much you've traveled this country and how extensive you've been in several high-level college football programs. When you quit playing, you went out to Wyoming with Coach Dye, and you were an assistant coach there. What was Wyoming like, and then what was it like getting that call after 1 year to come to Auburn and try and resurrect that program?
When Coach Dye went to Wyoming, we didn't know anything about Wyoming, and we all from South Georgia, and of course we went there and had a good year, and then when Coach Dye got the call from Auburn, to come to Auburn, of course he called Coach Bryant, Coach Dye's children are Coach Bryant's godchildren.
Oh my gosh, a lot of people don't know really how tight they were.
Oh, they were very tight. And so we were sitting in the office and he was talking to Coach Bryant, and of course Coach Bryant didn't want Coach Dye to go to Auburn. You don't need to go over there at Cal College. And, but after we hung up, Coach Dye said, "Hey, boys, we're going to Auburn if we can get it."
And, is that what he really said?
Absolutely. And, him and Coach Bryant were tight. But Coach Bryant didn't want none of us. And he said, Coach Bryant told him, he said, "Listen, I'm going to retire another 2 years. I'll get you the Alabama job."
Wow.
And
do you think he'd have really got it?
We didn't know. who knows if he's going to get the job?
Right.
Or who knows when he's going to retire? And he didn't know.
Right.
So Coach Dye, after he hung up, he said, "Boys, we're going to go to Auburn." And
the rest is what they say is history. Y'all come to Auburn in 1981. Get a victory over Alabama in the Iron Bowl after 9 years of a drought for Auburn in 1982. And then in 1983, as a sophomore, Bo Jackson. What was it like coaching him, and what was that Sugar Bowl like? Were you like – I was in second, third grade then and was convinced we'd won a national championship.
Right. Well, we were ranked number three in the country. And long story short, number one and two lost, and we beat Michigan in the Sugar Bowl, and it was a close game, 96, we kicked the field goal. Al Del Greco did a great job, and kicked the field goal, and, of course, we thought we had won the national championship.
How good was Michigan?
Good. They were a heck of a football team.
Did you know Bo Schembechler?
Did not. After we played Michigan in the Sugar Bowl, Coach Dye brought Coach Schembechler and his two coordinators to our spring practice the next year. And Coach Schembechler gave the greatest speech to our kids right before a scrimmage about it's so hard to get to the top, but it's harder to stay at the top. And, and that was, even our kids, they were going, "Wow." And they didn't know Bo Schembechler, from nobody.
Right.
But we did. And we knew exactly who he was. But it was a great, great speech to our kids and our, in our program. And we were building the program at the time. And, as we went, we went on and won a lot of games.
That's awesome. Well, you're just full of stories, man. You've got so many. You've been around, long enough and through so many different programs and through different regimes and around so many coaches and players. Is there one story that when you walk into a place like the Plaza Bar and Lounge or you walk into a family Christmas, what's that go-to story that you've got to tell everybody? Got to keep it radio clean now, Coach, but what's that go-to story you could tell us right here, man?
Well, the Cam Newton story was, We were at Auburn and we didn't have a quarterback, and Coach Chizik did not want to recruit a junior college kid.
How about that?
And, you know, of course, Cam had some baggage, you know, at Florida, but he went over, you know, to the junior college, and one of our coaches went out there to recruit a wideout. Well, he comes back and says, we got to take this quarterback. Chiz goes, no, no, no. Well, long story short, we brought him in, and I said, you know, Chiz used to be my graduate assistant at Clemson, and me and him were tight. And Gus was there, and Gus came and said, just see what he'll say.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, just bring him in and interview him. Just bring him in and interview him. We brought him in. Before all the balloons and the tigerettes and all that, Chiz wanted him in his office. And he interviewed him for about an hour. Came out with his hand over his shoulder because Cam was so much taller.
Yeah, his arm way up absolutely there. Yeah, that's right.
And he told Gus, he said, we're taking this kid. And, you know, the rest is history.
That's awesome.
What a great story.
That's fantastic.
You mentioned Clemson in that story and Coach Chizik being your GA there. I did not know that, but you left Auburn in 1986-ish and went over there and coached with Danny Ford. What was it like being over there at Clemson?
It was a lot like Auburn. You know,
that's what I've always heard.
Yeah, Danny Ford was Coach Dye's GA at Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And
small world.
And that's how I got the job. I was sitting in my office, and Coach Dye walked in my office and said, Danny Ford's sending a call and offer you a job. Don't take it.
He didn't want you to leave.
No! And he walked out. And I'm going, I was 23 years old. Are you kidding me? Well, here comes the call, Danny Ford, blah, blah, blah. Offered me a job, so I went back in Coach Dye's office. And I said, I think I need to go and get more contacts, you know, in the coaching profession. And long story short, I went over there, came back, told him, I said, Coach, I think I need to leave.
Yeah.
And he said, go ahead on, I love you. And, you know, he loved my wife more, who was working in his ticket office.
Yeah, she worked over in the ticket office now for 25 years.
She sure did.
25 years.
Yeah. Tell them what Coach Dye did for her those last 3 months, though, before y'all went to Clemson.
He gave her a raise. I left.
That's incredible.
How about that? That tells you who Coach Dye was, doesn't it?
You know, he was the AD at the time.
Yeah.
And he loved her more than he loved me. And that was a good thing.
That was a common occurrence, wasn't it, Coach?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No. And you know, helped him with retirement and all that. And then we got married, you know, a couple months later, and it's been a good run.
So you spent a couple of different stints at Troy. How did you hook up with Larry Blakeney and get down there the first time? And then I believe that – what were you with him the whole time down there?
When I came to Auburn in 1981, Coach Nash told Old James, he said, put him in an office, and he put him in when they were Larry Blakeney.
Oh, that's awesome.
Back in 1981. So we went 5 years, tight partners. And then I came back after Clemson stint. And he got the job at Troy. And, of course, he hired me. And went on. I stayed 10 years at Troy. And it was a great run.
You know, your defensive coordinator there, the deadbolt defense.
That's so awesome.
Isn't that amazing? Two Auburn High legends that you coached down there, DeMarcus Ware and O.C. Umiera. What was it like coaching them? Did you recruit them?
Well, Tracy Rocker was our defensive line coach.
Wow.
And
throwing out some serious names right now, Coach.
Oh, yeah. Played for us at Auburn, greatest player, greatest defensive line coach. Defensive lineman never played on. And in my opinion, we had a lot.
Yeah.
But he came to me and he said, we gotta recruit this kid. OCMUR, where's he from? Well, he's from Africa, but he's never played. He's in the band. I said, oh, really? I said, are you kidding me?
In the band.
In the band.
What instrument did he play?
I went and watched him practice basketball
yeah.
in the gymnasium at PE.
How about that?
He didn't even play high school basketball.
No. Heck no.
He's just in PE.
He was in the band.
Just athletic as everything.
And I went back and told Coach Blakeney, I said, Coach, we need to take this guy. He said, so we're going to take a guy in the band. And I told Rocker, I said, we got to do it, brother. The head man said he'll take him.
Wow.
That's a great story.
Jacob, you're not going to believe this, but Coach Bolt, including those, he has coached over 20 NFL players
that's
in his career in college
that's
football.
That's unbelievable.
You go to Iowa.
Had a great run.
That's amazing. You go to Iowa State with Gene Chizik, your defense coordinator there. Is that right?
Correct.
And then y'all get the call full circle, like Coach Dye at Wyoming, to come back to Auburn. How was that coaching in Iowa State? And then come, were you just thrilled to come back or what?
We were terrible in Iowa State.
Oh, man.
And I was recruiting a kid in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
How about Green Bay? Hey, you know I'm a big Packers fan, Coach.
Well, I was recruiting a kid, and Chiz calls me, says, all right, cuz, we just got the Auburn job. Tell the boys we got a staff meeting tomorrow. And I was fitting to go to a home visit, and instead of going to a home visit, I went to the airport and got first.
Wow. Now, let me ask you that, because that's a really interesting thing that I think we see a lot more now than we have ever before, where a coach is doing his job, right, recruiting and coaching and all that, and then another opportunity comes up and you have to take it and run with it. How do you handle something like that?
Part of the job.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've moved my wife 7 times, bought her 7 houses, and I've moved 10 times. But Linda's been, you know, she's been, you know, the saint and sort of kept the glue together, because I was never there.
Right.
You know, through the coaching deal. And then, so, you know, it was a great experience as far as moving from me here to here to here to here, and, you know, starting off in East Carolina and ending up at Troy and at all.
There was almost an 8th time, I believe, that you interviewed with the Pirate himself, Mike Leach.
Yes.
And he offered you a job to become the defense coordinator at Washington State.
A buddy of mine called me when we had Coach Blakeney had retired. And me and Linda had talked about retiring here in Auburn. And my buddy called me, who was my roommate at East Carolina, who worked for Leach. He said, Leach got a defensive job open. Would you be interested? I said, sure. He said, he's going to call you in 10 minutes. Long story short, he said, all right, I'm going to give you $800,000 with a 3-year contract, and I may fire you tomorrow, I may fire you next week. He says, but you got 3 years and $800,000. So I go back to my wife, tell her the story, I walk out on the deck, give me a little drink, and come back in. She said, what are we going to do? I said, I'm going to take you home, dog. And I said, 800 times 3, we can all figure that out. But I
cost you $2.4
million
to stay married.
To stay married.
Yeah. But totally worth it.
She'd have been working. She just didn't want to move again because she'd moved so many times.
Yeah,
so
y'all
many
already
times.
Moved 7 yeah. times. Got a question from the crowd, Coach.
Uh-oh.
This is from the Pitmaster and Barney down at Byron's. Did you ever stay in Danny Ford's cabin?
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
He was one of those guys that, you know, whatever you want to do, just do it. He had a staff boat to where the staff, you know, where the lake at Clemson.
Right.
If you want to get the boat, staff boat, go to the secretary, get the keys, blah, blah, blah. And we would do that. And he had a big cabin, and it wasn't a cabin. It was like a
mansion, I'm sure.
$3.8 million mansion.
Wow.
Out there on the lake.
Well, you know what they say about Clemson, Coach? They say it's Auburn with a lake.
Exactly what it is.
Well, so, and you've been there. I mean, you worked there. You lived there.
We got Pat Dye at Auburn. Mm-hmm. Then you got Danny Ford. You know, Bear Bryant disciples. Both of them, same personality.
Yeah.
Same recruiting machines, and that's why.
Yeah, y'all had some good teams
over
at Clemson.
Well, we won three ACC championships in a row.
That's strong. That's really strong.
And then, you know, being with Coach Dye, I mean, both of them recruited like they could.
Well, Coach, we thank you so much for being here today. You need to get down here to the Plaza Bar and Lounge and join us. Coach Wayne Bolt, architect of the deadbolt defense in the house. Last question. You come back to Auburn. We win a national championship. And you recruited Cam Newton. What was that like?
Great kid. Everybody thought, you know, since he wears all these funky clothes and funky hats and I asked him, I said, Camp, why are you wearing a hat? He said, Coach, they gave me $20,000 worth of his hat. And they gave me $30,000 worth of his pajamas or whatever I'm wearing right now. I said, I don't blame you, brother.
Hey, that's understandable, right?
What was that like recruiting Cam?
Great kid.
Yeah.
Great kid.
Awesome.
Did you know he was going to be as good as he was? I mean, as good as he became?
No. We knew he was good.
Yeah.
But when he got in with the kids and the players, and they gravitated to his leadership, that's what led us to the national championship.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Coach Wayne Bolt joining us here on the Thursday
that's
edition
awesome,
of
Coach.
On the
Thank
Line.
So
this has
much,
been fantastic.
Man.
Thank
Heck
you so much
yeah.
for your time. We appreciate that. We'll take a break, come back, continue on. Hour number two on the Thursday edition of On the Line continues after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back here on the Thursday edition of On the Line, we are live at the Plaza Bar and Lounge, and Uncle T-Bone, people are flooding in here to Midtown. Cars are flooding in. People are on the Plaza patio. They got us on inside here. I heard we've got some fried chicken in the fryer right now is what I just heard, is what was told. So we may have some food coming our way just a little bit.
Josh told me that tomorrow night is Fried Chicken Fridays up here, and they're going to have a band on Saturday. So it's not just today. It's going to be all weekend long. They have a fantastic brunch up here at the Plaza Bar and Lounge, home of the Warburger
right here
in Midtown. Get on down here today. Get on down all weekend. This is your home, Lee County in East Alabama, for the NCAA March Madness.
You spoke of that brunch, man. Here's what it is. Saturday and Sunday, all right, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., you got Mama T's buttermilk pancakes, avocado toast, bacon, egg, and cheese tots. You got a brunch burrito and the brunch burger. I mean, what else could you ask for when you're looking for brunch on a Saturday or Sunday after one too many cold snacks from Uncle Tebow?
I'm going to tot up on Sunday. I think I'm going to come down here with the fam and get right for that hopefully second-round matchup, Auburn, either UAB or San Diego State. I tell you what, there's a lot of action happening right now. Morehead State continues,
uh-oh,
Jacob,
uh-oh,
to hang around, and I'm just not really sure that anybody else's bracket, especially mine, can handle a loss by the Illinois Fighting Illini.
Let's give some updates on these NCAA tournament games. Wagner, the 16th seed, down by 20 to North Carolina. Looks like the Tar Heels are going to take care of business. You mentioned Morehead State. At the half, they trail Illinois by one. It is 39-38 Illinois on top of Morehead State. Oregon and South Carolina just underway. They're about 11 or about 9 minutes in or so. 13 all between Oregon and South Carolina. Some other teams that are coming up, Nevada and Dayton will play, and then that'll be the early afternoon games, and then moving into the late afternoon games, Colorado State and Texas still on the board as well. Results from earlier today in the NCAA tournament, Arizona, the 2 seed, took down Long Beach State, 85-65. No upset there in the NCAA tournament. Creighton was able to get it done, 77-60 over Akron. Duquesne started off everybody's brackets busted as the 11 seed over number 6,
that's
BYU.
That's what I get for talking trash about Dudon.
Yeah, that's what you get. That
yeah,
is what
that
we
is
get.
What you get right
we also
there.
Get that from Michigan State, too, who we talked the most crap about.
Oh, we've been running them down for like 2 months now. That's called karma.
Yeah, that
that's
is.
Called March Madness karma, and it got us, Jacob, but we should have known better, and you should have known better, too. Heck, I think Lee Starling was even off Michigan State. And when Lee Starling's not hitting something, it's March Madness goodness, karma.
That's right. Well, look, man, we've got so many people out here. They're going to continue to pour in as we go. We've had some loyal listeners out here, fans out here. We got other radio personalities out here, man. We just talked to Coach Bolt for 20 minutes, and we could have gone for hours, man.
Doug Amos has showed up.
That's
here.
Right. That's right.
From 107.5, the ticket in the River Region. We got folks coming in from Montgomery. The party is on, folks.
That's right. Well, hey, we also, just so many things going on out here. We're so excited to be here at the Plaza Bar and Lounge. And with rain in the forecast throughout this week, this weekend in general, couldn't ask for a more beautiful day here in Auburn, Alabama.
Chamber of Commerce Day here to start off the March Madness tournament. You know, it's unusually a little bit warm. Usually around this time of March, it's getting cold, especially when you get closer to Easter, Jacob. But expect another cold snap. That's just, don't plant your tomatoes just yet, folks. But plant yourself over at the Plaza Bar and Lounge for March Madness. Tons of great food. Thirsty Thursdays have never been better. And we're here. We're going to be here until 6 o'clock and probably beyond.
Yeah, there's a good chance we'll be here later than 6 o'clock. We'll be on the air, our show, 2 to 4 on the line here on ESPN. Bill Cameron has walked in. Him and Dan will be going live from 4 to 6 for the drive right here on ESPN 106.7. Look at some of this food that we've got here. The War Burger. You ready for this, Uncle T-Bone? It's a 3-ounce chuck beef patty, sweet onions, Wickles dirty dill pickles, French's mustard, and house barbecue sauce. Talk to me one time. That is a wonderful, wonderful burger. You can get it any way you want, and they've got 10 other ones underneath it.
The wickedly delicious pickles. Can you feel it? Right straight out of Alabama, topping off that War Burger. I'm telling you, the food down here in these inflationary times, Jacob, very reasonably priced. Great specials today. Very exotic menu that everything on it's good. Come on down here right now. Get down here. A lot of basketball going to go on till 9 o'clock. A lot of games left still to go. Do you see an upset possibly looming this evening that you can give the viewers? Because it seems like the upsets are the special of the day in the NCAA tournament.
Well, that McNeese and Gonzaga game still to tip off. That'll be tonight at 6:25. I've got McNeese making a run through the NCAA tournament, so we'll see if they can take down the Zags out of the WCC, the Weak Coast Conference is what I call it, from Gonzaga. We'll take our bottom of the hour break. Come on back. We'll have 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. We'll see what other guests and celebrities we can reel up
here. I think
here.
I've got somebody over there that came down from Lake Martin that needs to talk.
Wow. Okay, we'll get
special
them on.
Special guest when we get back for at least 5 minutes.
I
He's
love
fantastic.
It. I love it. We'll do that. We'll have 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line after this on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goertz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
All right, we are back at the Plaza Bar and Lounge, ESPN 106.7, on the line, the show that tells it like it is and holds nothing back. I'm Uncle T-Bone, Wade Bennett, Auburn High class of 1993. Can you feel it?
Uh-oh.
Get on down here in 93. I know you're in town. My man Jacob Goins, voice
right.
of the Lee Scott Warriors, and we have a special, extra special
extra
guest.
Extra special.
This is unbelievable, has stepped into the Plaza Bar. Lacey Hottie Howe from Remax around the beautiful shores of Lake Martin has come down from Tallapoosa County. Lacey, how are you, my friend?
Wade, so good and so excited to be here. I mean, give me an excuse to go to a bar before 5 o'clock on a
Thursday. That's right.
I'm in, man.
Well, how is everything up at the lake, Lacey?
It's good. It's busy. Inventory's picking up. I mean, it's always like every year it's the spring like crunch. And that's what we're in right now.
So, Jacob, I don't know. This will be the first time.
I need the backstory. Here we go.
All right, Lacey and I used to work at Wickles Pickles together, those wickedly delicious pickles.
That's right.
Sweet with a little heat.
Sweet with a little heat.
And a lot of people don't know this about Uncle T, but I'm not much of a morning person, okay?
Yeah.
And we would come into the office,
oh God,
and Lacey is just full of energy. And
are you a morning person?
100% an awesome person.
Oh, no.
And just I didn't know really what to think first until I got to know Lacey. She's one of the most fantastic people I know. Great realtor up around the lake and in Lee County. But let me tell you what, she's got experience. She's almost called state high school championship games before. This isn't the first time with a headset, Jacob.
I'm very comfortable with a headset, a microphone.
I love it. So how do you almost call state championship games? How does that go down?
I was up there.
Oh.
Yeah, they just saw her out in the crowd and said, come up here.
They said, who can talk into a microphone? Who can do it? You said,
I can. And for 15, 20 minutes while the game's going on, they're just talking to Lacey. So.
I love it.
I'm always like, what do I really need to know? Like, is there some weird fact that I haven't picked up?
Well, you co-hosted a show in Alex City in the morning.
Yes, and it was kind of like Seinfeld. It was about nothing, really. But yeah,
were you Elaine?
I was definitely Elaine. But that, the front porch with Kenny Dean, it's still out there, still on the air. And Kenny's one of my great friends.
Awesome.
We had a ton of fun.
Heck yeah.
And that was just being wide open from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. I mean, I needed a nap after that.
I told you she was a morning person, folks.
Morning radio, I've thought about it. We got Ben Taylor out here who does Auburn Opelika this morning on WANI, and he's from 6 to 9. And we have Donnie B who does the morning show on Wings from 6 to 9. And oh, my goodness. I just don't know if I could do it. I don't know. I could if I had to, but, man, 6 to 9, getting up at 4:30, 5 o'clock every day.
Yeah, it wears on you a little
bit. It does, yeah.
You get a little coffee in you and a little shake and bake, and you're like, woo!
Coffee only goes so far, though. I mean,
the adrenaline.
That's when talent takes over, Lacey.
That's right.
What you tell
her. She flips the switch, and she's just on. I love it. I love it. Well, how are you liking it down here, Plaza Bar and Lounge? You made a little bit of a drive, but we've got this patio packed out right now.
Dogs, kids, pretty people, old and young. I mean, I think the plaza's where it is today.
It's a fantastic and an eclectic crowd, to say the least. Lacey, did you fill out a bracket for March Madness this year?
I didn't have to, Lacey.
Oh, my goodness gracious, Jacob. She's saying, I got this. What's up with that?
I mean, I'm an Auburn grad, class of 2006. It's easy to say. Auburn's going to take it all the way.
Wow. Whoa, we got a believer.
Right,
we got a believer.
We believe, Lacey. Right. That's fantastic. Well, let me tell you what, Lacey. We really appreciate you coming down. Real quick, if you don't mind, plug what you got, where you're at, and how people can get in touch with you on the lake.
Thanks, Wade. Lacey Howell, 256-307-2443. I'm old school. Give me a call, and we will tag up and go look at some houses by water.
I love it. I love it. And it's a perfect time to start thinking about it, right, with
yep.
the summer right around the corner. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you being
me.
Here, of course.
War Eagle.
Yes, War Eagle
War
to
Eagle,
that.
Lazy.
Oh, my goodness. Look what's walking in here right now.
What a fantastic
segment. Oh,
my segment.
Goodness. I mean, what a segue right here. Fried chicken, French fries, and coleslaw. Talk to me one time. Put that headset on. Let's talk about what this fried chicken is. Oh, my goodness. Look at this, Wade. You were talking about Fried Chicken Fridays, and we're joined by Josh Nagel, the managing owner here. Tell us about what you just sat down on our table right here. Oh, my goodness.
Well, this is about to be our Friday special, guys. This is our fried chicken. So it is boneless chicken thighs. We've got Mimi's coleslaw. That's a family recipe. French fries to top it all off.
I mean, doesn't get any better than this.
Sorry, guys.
Care of
I was
here.
I started eating beforehand. I guess I should have said a blessing. This food looks fantastic. Tomorrow night here at the Plaza Bar, it's Fried Chicken Fridays. That's right, Josh. All day long. How about that? And the games will be all day long too, along with this awesome, awesome deck, man. Y'all've expanded since the last time I've been here. Tell us about the shack, man, that we're sitting out in front of. How did that come about?
Yeah, so I've been involved for about 2 years and kind of came in. This is one of my first passion projects that we had here, and it's a great event space where you can rent and have a private event here, bring your group up to join us for a party. We also open it on the weekends. It's a little bit, it's a smaller space. It's a part of the plaza, but it's also separate. Gives you a little bit of a different vibe, a little bit more intimate setting here.
Yeah, I mean, we've got people out here like crazy right now with the patio full, insides filling up too. You've got the kind of the morning, afternoon slate of games are tipping off and kind of finishing up as well. And then you got the whole night slate that's going to be here as well. How late are we open tonight? How late are we open on the weekends?
Man, well, we couldn't ask for a better day here weather-wise. And we're just excited to have everybody out here, excited to have you guys here.
Absolutely.
And, man, we'll stay open as long as anybody wants to be out here.
Oh, don't honestly. Tell Uncle T-Bone that. You'll be here all night.
I'll be here with you, buddy.
Sounds like a Bloody Mary Friday to start everything out with a plate of fried chicken and watch these basketball. There's more people pile in. Jacob Crew Daddy, class of 91, just rolled up in here from Auburn High. I'm telling you, you need to get down here right now to the Plaza Bar and Lounge, Midtown. It's an amazing place. Josh, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you guys, man. Happy to have y'all here. And, and happy for tournament season.
Yes.
Did you fill out a bracket?
Yep, there you go.
I did several.
Several brackets. How
many of them have Auburn winning it all?
Two out of the five brackets I filled out, I've got the Auburn Tigers going on.
Two out of seven. That ain't bad. That ain't bad. That's more than most. So what's going to be the hiccup for Auburn? Is it UConn?
You know, I think we just got to be ready to play, man. We're playing our best basketball at the right time of the year, it seems like. And the travel, you guys were talking about that a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
That's going to be a little bit of a challenge. But, hey, man, you just got to win at this point in the season. And, I think we got a good chance. We got a lot of depth, a complete basketball team, and an inspired basketball team, it looks like right now. So I'm excited to watch this.
That's right, man. Hey, we appreciate you having us out here. We're going to be here. We're on the air for another 20 minutes or so, and then the drive taking over right after us from 4 to 6 out here at the Plaza Bar and Lounge. Thanks so much, Josh. We appreciate you, man.
Thank you, guys.
So, but games are going on. Look at this chicken and everything. It's going to be delicious. We're going to tear into it as soon as we get to a break. People continue to flood in here. And as the games continue to go on, Uncle T-Bone, we talked about it earlier, some upsets that have already happened and some that could be on the horizon. Looking at the updated scores in the NCAA tournament, I mean, you had Oregon and South Carolina going at it in their first round game. Did you have Oregon or South Carolina winning yours? I think I had South Carolina.
No, I had Oregon. They're playing hot basketball, I knew everybody around here would take South Carolina. Like, I knew they would take Mississippi State. I just didn't have the bracket discipline to take Michigan State and take that chance. So that's what I did with Oregon. I'm sure it's not going to work out for me, and I'm done.
South Carolina up by one, 22-21, with 5 minutes to play in the first half. Illinois and Morehead State still at the half. They're about to get underway in the second half of play. North Carolina has pulled away and destroying Wagner 88-61. It is all Tar Heels in the second half, about to wrap up their first round victory. Other games that are about to start, Nevada and Dayton. That's our Dayton Flyers, Uncle T-Bone. Are we nervous about the Flyers in their first round game against that team from Las Vegas?
No, I'm not nervous about them whatsoever. And, you know, we talked about this yesterday. I'm big with Nevada right now, so I need that Wolfpack from Reno to take care of business and end our Dayton Flyers. I'm out on Dayton now, Jacob.
What in the world? How do you just bail on them like that?
That's called March Madness. You got to do what you got to do, and if you don't take any chances, you're going to be sitting in dead last in my bracket like I am right now.
That's terrible, man. Hey, phone lines are open the last few minutes, 334-321-1390. We want to know how your brackets are doing. We want to know your best games, best upset picks, what's happening in your bracket in the NCAA tournament. Nevada and Dayton playing coming up in literally any minute now. 5:50, so a little bit of a gap there. You'll have Colorado State and Texas, Oakland and Kentucky, McNeese and Gonzaga, South Dakota State taking on Iowa State. That's the 15-2 game. Another 15-2 game is St. Peter's and Tennessee, NC State, Texas Tech, Samford, Kansas, and Drake and Washington State. As we've got a train going by, which game catches your eye, or games catch your eye coming up on the night slate, Uncle T-Bone?
Well, I think that NC State, Texas Tech game is going to be a war. I really like NC State there. I really like their big man. They're hot, but Texas Tech can play a little bit. Had some big upsets earlier in the season, kind of fell off, but have come back strong towards the end of the season. For some reason, and I know they're red hot, you're going to call me crazy, Jacob.
Probably.
I just continue to look at this South Dakota State team.
Stop it right now.
Is there any way they're going to keep this game close, catching 15 and a hook against Iowa State? I'm going to bet, like I said yesterday, that these two teams have played before with their proximity multiple times. I don't know. I'm not quite saying it, but keep an eye out for that game.
Yeah, you're crazy. That's all I'm saying.
First time I've ever been told that.
No, you're right about that. I'm excited to see what Kentucky looks like coming out in their game. Are they going to come out with a little bit of a vengeance after getting one and done in the SEC tournament? Come out and maybe just blow out that Oakland team? I mean, we know they've got the offense to do it, and Oakland can't run with the Cats for 40 minutes offensively. Kentucky needs a good showing in game one to get them off to a hot start.
Yeah, I feel like Kentucky's going to come out with an edge. We talked about this yesterday also when we were picking our games. I'm a big believer in Kentucky in this tournament. They got a favorable draw, a favorable seed. It's ridiculous that they're a 3 seed and Auburn is not. But they're going to attack the rim over and over and over again, and there's no way that Oakland has anywhere near the talent to match up against that type of offense. As long as some easy – I look for Dillingham and crew just to go at that rim and score at will.
Let's take our final break. We'll come back, wrap it up, plug some Plaza Bar and Lounge one more time, talk a little bit of Auburn as well as they get ready to take on Yale tomorrow in their first round game. Phone lines are open. Give us a call to wrap up the show. 334-321-1390.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
All right, winding down the Thursday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. We are live on location at the Plaza Bar and Lounge in Midtown. And, hey, let's get to the phone lines before we get out of here. 334-321-1390. Spectre, you're on the line. What's up, man?
Hey, buddies. I ain't been able to hear much of today's show. I've been working too hard. But, listen, who was that coach y'all were interviewing earlier?
That's Coach Wayne Bolt, Spectre. Okay, he's been an assistant at Auburn for a long time.
Yeah, I got to catch that on the podcast then. Well, listen, I'm 1-1 right now on the bracket. I didn't think Duquesne would beat BYU, but they did. But
you're doing better than I am, man. Yeah, Duquesne blew my bracket up, and Mississippi State blew my bracket up, and at least the big dogs are winning right now. But there's going to be some more upsets tonight. You better believe it.
Yeah. I picked Michigan State.
Yeah, you did.
That was a good pick, Spectre.
Yeah, I figured they'd lay an egg.
Spectre, why don't you load up and come on down here to the Plaza Bar. Andy, one of our favorite callers, just walked in, so we'd love to have you.
Okay, what time are y'all going to be closing down there?
Oh, goodness.
Well, Bill and them will be on after us until 6, and then we'll be here for a little bit after that, I'm sure.
Okay, I'll try to make it, buddy.
There you go. Hey, Spectre, great to hear from you, man. We appreciate the call. 334-321-1390. Got a few more minutes. You mentioned it. We had Andy just roll up in here. We got all of our listeners and friends and family and fans here, man. It's been a wonderful day. We still got a few more minutes. We got darts out here, cornhole out here. The sun's starting to peek back behind the buildings. I mean, it's going to be a gorgeous night out here too.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to cool down a little bit, a perfect spring night to watch a little basketball out here on the party deck at the Plaza. Check out the new shack. It's a little subsidiary bar right off.
That's where we're set up
plant.
In front
we're
of.
We're set up right out in front of. Josh Nagel, operating owner, came out and said, hey, here's some of our fried chicken that we'll have this
We demolished
this Friday,
it.
And it is unbelievable. I'm telling you, the food is so good here. It's one of Auburn's best-kept secrets, Jacob, and the drink specials will be here tonight. Lots of basketball and lots of fun, and there's a good crowd of people out here, and it's going to do nothing but grow.
That's right. Hey, let's get to the phone lines again, 334-321-1390. Andy, you're on line one. What's up, man? How are you?
I figured I could talk to you easier on the phone than out there. So don't eat the bone of that chicken?
It was bone-free, man. We just if there was a bone, we ate it anyway.
Man, we stopped by just to finally see y'all for the first time, and my kids got out and, like that show of Frozen where the girl's like, what's that smell, you know? And
right.
It was hard to leave, but I got to give them the gymnastics.
I understand. Well, hey, we appreciate you coming out, man. Sorry we couldn't talk to you a little bit off the air, but we do appreciate you being here.
Absolutely.
Hey, let me give you three calls today. So Kentucky, Drake, and Colorado State are gimmies. So
Kentucky, Drake, and Colorado State, huh?
That's it.
Wow. Okay. Well, the Colorado State's a bold. That's a bold pick.
Two out of three will win. I'll call you Monday. We'll talk about it. War Eagle.
I love it. War
Sounds
Eagle,
good. Thanks so much, Andy. Appreciate you coming out and appreciate you calling in and saw you and the kids. You had them all out here running around. We appreciate you joining us out here.
Yep, Andy, a great caller. Happy to have him out here. I'm telling you, Jacob, man, this is going to be a wild night, wild weekend. The first weekend in the March Madness, the first 4 days, is easily one of my, if not favorite, sporting events of the year. I look forward. Barely slept last night. Christmas come early.
That's right.
Come on out to the Plaza Bar and Lounge. We'll be here till 6 o'clock live remote. Bill and Dan about to take over. It's been a lot of fun, my friend.
It's been so much fun. 2 hours have flown by. Let me tell you what. 2 hours have absolutely flown by. People still flooding in, coming through. Bill and Dan are about to join us. You mentioned that. They're going to go on the air from 4 to 6. And I want to talk Auburn just a hair while we got the last couple of minutes. Auburn goes on tomorrow. And, hey, update on our shows, by the way. We need to give people an update on that. with our shows running from 2 to 4 and 4 to 6, Auburn plays tomorrow at 3:15, right? They play tomorrow at 3:15. And so what we're going to do is we're going to do the first hour of our show from 2 to 3 as a preview show, kind of a pregame call-in type of show, right? Then we're going to go off the air. Everybody's going to be watching the game, right, taking it in, listening to it, whatever. Then Bill and Dan are going to go live for the second hour of their show from 5 to 6 and be a live reaction post-game show right here on ESPN 106.7. So that's what we're going to do tomorrow, just to let people know. Auburn and Yale tomorrow. We'll talk about it a little bit, but how do you feel about that game as we get closer to game time?
Well, the closer I get to game time, the more nervous I get about it. I do think that Auburn will be able to impose their will on Yale, but that game's going to be a little squirrely for Tiger fans. Just kind of hold your seats and buckle down. Auburn does a good job, though, and this coaching staff does a great job of 10 minutes, 12 minutes, 15 minutes into the first half, feeling everything out, continuing to rotate your people in. Yale's only going to have about 7 players that play tomorrow. Auburn's going to play the whole bench if they get the possibility of doing it. They're going to wear Yale out, and with about 2 minutes, 3 minutes in the first half, I believe you'll see Auburn begin to pull away like they do just about any other team that they're better, more talented than, more physical than, and play better defense than. And they should be able to money whip Yale with talent. And then you move into that second half, Auburn goes on a run. I really do think that for about 10 to 12 minutes, so it's going to be squirrely. I like Auburn to win in double digits, but not big double digits.
Well, it could be one of those games where Yale hangs around for the first half, right? Auburn may only be up by 4, 5, 6. Shoot, Yale could be winning at the half, right? It's just one of those where if you don't go in and take care of business and play your brand of basketball, you could get beat on any given day. That's how the NCAA tournament works. Auburn will be taking on Yale. Tomorrow we'll be live talking about it. We'll be back in studio for just an hour, though, from 2 to 3. Going to feel a little weird, and then Auburn playing at 3:15. Auburn baseball gets underway tonight as well, a home series versus the number one team in the country, the Arkansas Razorbacks. How are we feeling about that one? Can Auburn bounce back after a sweep against Vanderbilt? Can they get a win or two against the number one ranked team in the country, the Arkansas Razorbacks?
Well, it's good to be home, right? You know, anytime you play at home in the SEC, it's a massive advantage in whatever sport you're playing in. That's asking a lot, though. They really do need to get 2 out of 3 bad to just kind of stabilize things. But remember, folks, it's baseball. It's a long season. Just hang in there and at least get 1 W and kind of stabilize things, stop the bleeding, and move forward with your season. This is a long game, baseball is, and it's a long season, and that's what Auburn's going to have to play. Be more patient, folks, in SEC play, because the SEC is one of the best. It is the best conference in college baseball by far.
We've been live here at the Plaza Bar and Lounge. That's it for us on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Stay tuned. Bill and Dan are coming up. Also, come out and join us. We'll be here on location for until 6, but there's a good chance we'll be here a little bit longer with the basketball games as well. So come out and join us. Thank you so much for everybody that has come out, that's called in, been a part of the show today. Uncle T-Bone, this has been a lot of fun. I'll see you tomorrow in the studio.
Yep, that's how we radio. We'll be pregame tomorrow. Bill and Dan will be post-game. That'll be must-listen-to radio. Just a quick shout-out to all our guests that stopped by today. Doug Amos is in the house. Thank you so much. Coach Bolt and Lacey Howe from Lake Martin coming on down. So be here as well.
Thank you all so much. We'll see you tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN. Until then, stay safe. I'll talk to you later.